Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Insert Here, a sex podcast where lust and learning meet. I'm your host, Kate Warren. Each week, I invite a new guest on the show to share their experiences outside the heteronormative or vanilla worlds of sexual expression. Guests bring a wide variety of gender, orientation, and racial experiences to life through their stories. They approach sexuality in really fascinating ways and talk about how their sexuality is informed by who they are and what they've experienced. I invite regular people to share their best tools, tips, and tricks for communicating, thinking about, and of course, having great sex. Today, our guest is Laura Zamm. Laura is an author, speaker, certified clinical trauma professional, wellness trainer, and sexuality educator, whose work focuses on healing in the aftermath of trauma and violation. After going on a quest to overcome her own experiences with trauma and pelvic pain, she used her newfound knowledge in her writing, plays, and workshops to help others do the same. So she is pretty much a certified, like, lived experience expert, and then backed that up with educational expertise as well. Because subsequently, she got certifications in trauma studies, sexuality education, and crisis intervention. Welcome, Laura.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yay!
So you have a pretty amazing story about kind of how you took a kind of winding road to sex education, because you're a writer by trade originally. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why don't you walk us through a little bit of your story?
Sure. Well, I had a lot of sex problems my whole life. Since I started in my late teens, and
what kind?
I had a lot of pelvic pain with sex. First time I tried to have sex, it took 8 months to get it to work.
Like it wouldn't just go.
It wouldn't go in. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that was. I just thought I pretty much understood that there was a relationship with my past. I had been sexually abused by 3 different men by the time I was 5.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so I made the connection,
right?
But it didn't seem like there was anything I could do about it. And because it was kind of fraught for me, I had a lot of other kinds of issues with orgasm and with desire and arousal and all those sorts of things. I just didn't really understand sex.
Right. Well, and I imagine those things start to sort of cascade. If you like can't even get it in, like you're like, oh, man, I would imagine that you start thinking like, oh, is this something that's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And then like the other problems sort of like fan out from there, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it went on for years and years and then decades and decades.
Oh my gosh.
And I had basically one failed relationship after another that had to do with my sex problems. But then when I was 46, I finally got married to this great guy.
Aw, congratulations.
Thank you. And strangely, all my problems got worse. And
interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
I didn't know at all. And now I was in a marriage, and sex is very different when you're in a marriage or in a committed long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. My other relationships had been more, I guess, uncertain.
Okay.
So I felt really stuck because I couldn't, even though I knew I had these problems, it was something I couldn't quite face.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a sense of what it was other than I was just broken. So I just had all this shame, but not about having been sexually abused. I had shame about how it had affected me, that I was defective, and I was like sort of double defective in that, you know, I had these problems, but also there was something wrong that had landed in this way for me.
Right.
But I decided to fix myself and But it was an interesting journey even there because I didn't know how to go about this and how to face this or even really talk about it with my husband. I didn't ever told him that I was having pelvic pain.
At all?
Yeah.
How long had you guys been together?
At that point, 3 years.
Wow. So for 3 years in like the closest relationship of your life, you were hiding that you were in pain when you were having sex.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. That must have been really hard.
You know what? It just was sort of normal for me to just think about, you know, think, okay, well, I'm just broken, so whatever, you
did
know.
Did you feel like kind of your burden to bear on your own?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Just my, and I knew that, okay, I'm just going to, you know, do the best I can, but yeah. I'm, you know, I'm broken. So anyway, I got a commission. I had been working as a playwright, and I got a commission to write a play, and I'm not sure why, but I got a crazy idea on the phone that I would use this play commission as an opportunity to heal. But really, it was a way to force myself into healing because I felt like I couldn't even wrap my mind around what it would entail otherwise. Right. I didn't know if I should, you know, go back to therapy or if I needed a different kind of therapy or if I needed to study sexuality or marriage. I didn't know where my ignorance was.
Where to start even.
Yeah, and it was very overwhelming. So I thought, okay, well, with the play, because I'm writing about it, I'm going to go see people I wouldn't ordinarily see and I'll make a list. I just thought, oh, if okay. I could just make a list.
So there's kind of a systematic approach in the research portion of like a yeah. project.
It was a project.
Got
I needed
it.
A project. Mm-hmm. Otherwise I just couldn't conceptualize it otherwise and
sure.
I had no hope otherwise. But a project, and it forced me to do things I wouldn't ordinarily do, like I sought out sex therapy. I wouldn't have done that otherwise. I just would have been really too terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I made the list, and I started seeing people, and I got really conflicting information and bad advice. Like I saw a hypnotist who didn't want to hypnotize me because after I'd spent half an hour telling her about my molestation, she said, well, maybe you just have no libido and there's nothing you can do about it, so just have sex with your husband so he won't leave you.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
You know, and as a survivor of sexual violation, like, that goes against
everything. Yeah, that's, you know, really problematic for many reasons.
Really problematic, but I just didn't
know
what
to do. She told you to just suck it up?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So he wouldn't leave me. I just had no idea what to do with this information, so...
Sure.
Yeah, so, you know, so one after the other, I called this tantrika, an expert in sexual healing, ostensibly, and
how did you find a tantrika? And also, like, for the folks listening at home, like, what is a tantrika?
A tantrika is an expert in tantric sex and tantra generally, and tantra is. It's a spiritual practice. It was founded thousands of years ago by women, and mm-hmm. it's essentially, at its core, it's about accessing the divine through your body, including your sexuality and your sensuality. It's the opposite of an idea of spirituality where you transcend all the senses. Mm-hmm. This is using the senses. But there is a sexual component, and in its purest form, it's about accessing the divine or, you know.
Sort of like sex as meditation.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of explaining it. But this tantrika claimed to have a lot of knowledge, and I believed her about sexuality, including healing. And I called her, and we spoke on the phone, and she wanted me to come with my husband to her studio and make love in front of her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that something you had done before?
No.
Okay.
And it wasn't something I was going to do it then anyway. I'm like, okay, all right, can I just come myself? She said no. But she told me she thought I had a shrinking vagina.
What is a shrinking vagina?
I had no idea.
Okay.
I had no idea. Now I do, but
okay.
Then I had no idea.
Okay.
Anyway, so I was experiencing, having all these experiences, and then I did this one-person play, and it was disastrous.
No.
Yeah, because my husband felt humiliated, like,
oh.
I had publicly shamed him. In putting our sex life on the stage.
Okay.
He knew that I was doing it, but I hadn't read him the text, and he was blindsided. Anyway.
Oh, no. Okay.
I went up to work on the play, and we resolved that, but it took a long time. And it was definitely a breach of trust in our relationship. But anyway, eventually I went back without that project, but I needed another list. So I just made another list, and I just started seeing people again because I realized I just needed that, some kind of systematic approach.
Right. You had to find your own solution or series of solutions.
Yeah, exactly.
So you went back to her.
I went to see the tantrika because I was just so curious. And this time on the phone, she said she would see me alone. I didn't reference the earlier phone call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I went to see her, and it was really amazing.
What did she do?
It was just so amazing. Well, first she taught me a breathing exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very simple, but it was really profound. It was a way of using breath to experience surrender. And so her theory was that I didn't really know how to fully relax, including, mm-hmm. you know, relaxing my genitals, right? Relaxing my sexuality. So she taught me this breathing exercise to just relax, and it was very, very effective.
What's the breathing exercise, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, she calls it ocean breath,
okay.
And what you do is it's really simple. You breathe in,
mm-hmm.
and on the exhalation, you go, ah.
Oh, I love that. Like in yoga, well, in some yoga classes, a lot of times, right, where you're like creating an auditory sound.
Exactly. Yeah, and she had taught yoga, and I also teach yoga.
Uh-huh.
And she kept saying it's not like a regular yoga breath where
okay.
you're doing a lot of control, but it is that breath in yoga where the teacher says, do something audible.
Yeah.
Like a sigh.
Uh-huh.
It's basically like a sigh.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like, she wanted me to do that abdominally too. And it was really profound.
Cool.
Then she went further, you know, but all very respectfully, consensually, you know, she asked me if I wanted her to show me different, a certain stroking technique for the clitoris that mm-hmm. would be, you know, hopefully arousing. She showed me my G-spot, you know, but not
welcome
verbally.
To Team G. So she went right in there and showed you your G-spot.
Yeah, she reached right in.
Okay. What was that experience like as someone who had a history of trauma?
You know what? I felt very, very, very safe with
cool.
her.
That's
I
good.
Really did feel safe with her. And I just felt like, where was I going to get? I was not going to get this from a book. I mean, I'd read, okay, you know, the Come Here. I'd read all that. But,
right.
You know, when somebody can just like locate it, then it's like, oh, okay. And
right.
Then,
the body is such a tactile thing. A lot of times to learn things, you have to see someone do it or feel someone do it.
Exactly. And then I could put my finger where hers was and go, ah, oh, I see what you're talking about.
Okay, good.
Because there's a difference in skin, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Yeah. Feels spongy.
It feels spongy. Yeah, 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 exactly. So it was so illuminating, you know.
That's awesome. How did you feel when she was kind of shining a light on like these different pleasure techniques?
Well, I was a little bit... not confused, but I wasn't sure how far I should go, if I wanted to become aroused or if I didn't. And I felt like I had to make a decision.
Okay.
And that either way would have been fine in the context of this session, but mm-hmm. that I could do what I wanted there. And I wanted it to be, I guess, more educational than
okay.
than having
full surrender.
Full surrender. Yeah.
So she was giving you kind of the tools to have full surrender at your own discretion.
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was really, really profound. It was really profound. And then I did some other kinds of, I guess, similarly risky sorts of things.
Okay. Like what?
Well, there is an old feminist, and I mean old, she's about 87 now. And she started doing these masturbation workshops in the 70s where she taught women how to masturbate,
mm-hmm.
a particular technique that she thought was very effective.
Mm-hmm.
And she resurrected these weekends. They're called it's called Body Sex Workshop, the Body Sex Workshop. Her name is Betty Dodson.
Mm-hmm. And she's really well known
very
in the
well
space.
Known.
Yeah.
Very well known, yeah. sexologist, and yeah. And so she was holding this workshops, and I really, really wanted to do this, and it was amazing. I just thought it was beautiful. Women, the first day, you're naked for the whole afternoon.
Okay.
Just a small circle of women. There were 9 of us, and talking about our bodies, and then kind of toward the end of the day, you show your vulva to the group, and
oh yes, the vulva show and tell portion of the day.
She invented the vulva show and tell portion.
I love it. So when you were there, and there were these 9 women, like, did each person have like a different level of comfort? Like, how did she go about creating a space where everybody was like, okay, yeah, let me take my clothes off for several hours and then show all of you that I just met my vulva?
Yeah.
How did that work for you?
You know what? It's, well, a couple of things. One is, I thought I'd be more nervous than I was. I walked in, and she's naked, and she's a little gruff, and she says, all right, take off your clothes and leave them here. Come on in. And, you know, so it's like, okay.
Like when you go to the Turkish bath, and like a 300-pound Turkish woman is like, clothes off, sit down.
Yeah, and then...
Like, whatever you say, fine.
And then everyone else is naked, so yeah. You just kind of get used to it.
Yeah, totally.
So it was just kind of like that.
Okay, cool.
And everybody was very vulnerable, and I guess it helps if you're naked, you know?
With the vulnerability thing.
And, you know, people don't ask us about our sex life in detail like that, so I felt that myself, and I... Maybe I'm projecting it, but it seemed like for other people, too, they really were dying to tell the story,
yes.
The whole story of their sex life.
Yes. Yeah. I did a year of research before we launched this podcast, and I was just going out and talking to every person I met, essentially, about sex and asking them about their sex life and what they would want to learn more about and hear more about, and sort of helping to identify the gaps that the show could help fill. And I found that even in the most conservative of spaces, people were very excited to speak about their sex lives, because to your point, there really aren't a lot of forums to talk about sex or pleasure or identity, things like that. Like, to have these real conversations about things that frankly almost all of us are experiencing on a regular basis.
Right. And you know what, it's just so, even just occurring to me in this moment, that it's like, you know, you can tell your life story, but this is your sex life story. It is its mm-hmm. own trajectory. It's its own journey.
Totally.
From the beginning until how did you get to this particular point? And I can't think of any other forum really where you get to tell that whole story.
Right. And it's interesting in talking to so many people about their stories is that you do start to see trends emerge, right? Like it matters how you first experienced sex when you were really young, or how you first experienced your body, mm-hmm. Like these very basic things, you know, how your family messaged it to you, or how your friends messaged it to you, whether you had trauma, whether you grew up religious is like definitely a big one, because there's so much shame projected by a lot of religious communities. And it's just really interesting to see like people from many different backgrounds and types of experiences find commonalities through that, right? Like you can have, you know, somebody who grew up in a conservative Muslim household in Egypt actually have a lot in common sexually with someone who grew up, you know, Catholic from New England.
Yeah, that's really an interesting... Maybe that's what we need to bring people together.
More talking about fucking.
Even people on the, you know, both sides of the aisle here, you know.
Uh-huh. Like, dear Republicans, do you know where your G-spot is? It's spongy. Okay, so you went back to the Tantrika.
Yeah, then I went to the Tantrika with my husband.
Oh, okay.
What was his idea?
Okay, so he came around sort of to this process.
Oh, yeah, because he was, because he was resistant from the beginning that I was writing the play, and then I blindsided him with the play, and then... But then, yeah, he started to come around because I started exhibiting signs of healing. I started getting a libido. I started really enjoying sex and getting much more comfortable finding out what I wanted and asking for it. And he...
That's great. So he was reaping the benefits.
He was.
Okay, cool.
He's like, okay, I want a transformative experience. I want my own sexual healing.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it was more difficult for him to realize that he wanted, needed or wanted like a sexual healing experience because he is a man?
Yeah, I think it's not, you know, it's definitely not something that guys maybe think about normally.
In or terms told of, that it's okay to ask for,
right.
Certainly, right? Like this idea that like as a man, you have to man up. Right. And as a guy, you're expected to have like rock hard dick at every moment, just like ready to go.
Yeah.
And be able to go for hours and hours when in fact, like, A, that's not the reality for like basically anyone. And B, it really doesn't speak to the nuances of male personhood either.
Right. And it's like just such the it's like so much the antithesis of like DJ Khaled, how do you say
his name? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, right? So he's like, oh, I'm a man because I don't go down on women. And that's, right, because that you have to be...
There are just, you know, certain rules, right? Like, as a man, I'm just supposed to receive pleasure and don't have to give it.
Right. But so, like, think about that versus, oh, I'm a man and I want to heal act.
Well, and frankly, whether you have healing to do or not, like, you have... And you're entitled to your own pleasure, and you are entitled to deepen your pleasure practice.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I love that practice. I love thinking about it as a practice. Thank you. We spoke about that before, and mm-hmm. I love that so much.
So you and your husband went to deepen your practice.
We went to deepen our practice with this tantrika.
So what happened? What was that? What does that look like?
So
did you have sex in front of her?
Well, you know what? It's like a Clintonian thing. It depends on what you call
it. Okay, awesome. You're like, so I put on my blue dress. Awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to be coy. Just she, it's the same kind of thing. So she started us out in a similar way. In my session too, she started us out chanting, talking about chakras, which I love because, mm-hmm. you know, from my yoga background. So we started out with that. And then, you know, then she asks you, you know, if you want to be naked. And basically she said we can just use her as a resource for anything that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did this breathing technique with him as well.
Oh, the ocean breathing.
The ocean breath, yeah.
Okay.
And then she showed him how to do the ocean breath on my body.
Okay.
And I believe mine on his.
Okay.
And then actually she used to be a therapist, and so she was doing like a little bit of therapy with both of us, but especially with my husband, who had just been through a pretty severe depression.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And so she was talking to him and like asking, it was basically like a therapy session, but she was pressing on the perineum, perineum, which for those who don't have all the lingo is, some people call it the taint this, taint that. It's the space between the scrotum in a man's scrotum and the anus. And so she was, yeah, pressing on this area and doing this, which he found very relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean there are a lot of nerve endings.
A lot of nerve endings. In female too. Yep, yeah,
absolutely. And we had a guest on a previous episode, Reba the Diva, mm-hmm. who teaches a blowjob workshop called Blow His Mind for all different kinds of audiences. And she spends a lot of time talking about the anatomy and where all the different kind of pleasure centers are in men that are, they're not paid the attention that they're due. And mm-hmm. the perineum mm-hmm. is one of them.
Yeah. So that was very interesting. And then we did hugging and a certain kind of hugging and connection and kissing. And I practiced asking for what I want, and which was really scary.
Yeah.
Because I wanted different kisses, and it's very hard to tell someone that you're, you know, tell your lover, I want, you know, I'm not wild about the way you kiss me. I want you to kiss me differently. It's
right.
really... hard to do.
Yeah. Well, and to do that in a way that isn't like, hey, we've been kissing for 5 years, and actually I've never said anything, but it has been unsatisfying for 5 years. Like, how do you not bruise someone's ego when you're giving feedback like that?
Yeah, and I know a lot of couples who have this issue, mm-hmm. and they don't say anything ever.
Well, it's scary. Yeah. I think a lot of people are afraid of hurting each other's feelings.
Definitely.
Like being awkward.
Yeah, so that was great having this third party there, you know.
Facilitating. So how did she tell you, like, what tips did she give you for asking for what you wanted?
Well, she gave us a variety of techniques to try, which was very helpful because I think I wasn't clear at that point what mm-hmm. I exactly wanted.
Okay.
So it made it, so then I had like a Chinese menu to choose from.
Great. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, so basically the journey took about 5 years.
Wow.
But I cured myself of these dysfunctions, yeah, and my trauma.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how have you used that learning experience, that gathering of knowledge from so many different sources, to build what you do now and how you help other people?
Well, I work now as a sexual wellness coach, and I'm doing some workshops on healing from violation. I'm building an online course. So what I came to in my own healing was that almost everything that I was taught or that was passed on to me as knowledge, even the stuff that I couldn't make sense of, like the hypnotist who said I should just have sex with my husband, right? I could integrate that eventually, and I could find some wisdom mm-hmm. to synthesize with everything else. And what it came down to for me was almost everything, or actually everything, was a matter of rewiring my sexuality. Mm. That I had bad sex wiring.
Okay.
And in many cases, no sex wiring or no pleasure wiring.
Sure.
And that I could build that.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't... it wasn't an issue really of psychological or emotional damage so much as it was about repetition. Mm-hmm. It was about choosing activities and just being consistent with those exercises or that practice, being sure. consistent in my practice.
Yeah.
And I found that was really the answer or the remedy for so much of what I needed to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got really driven to share that because I felt like that perspective or that framework for healing from this kind of trauma mm-hmm. is really not talked about.
No, not at all. I think our society really does position women especially as damaged victims who are never going to be like made whole again or something, which is just untrue. Like,
yeah.
And you proved that it's possible to like overcome those experiences and to reconnect with your pleasure practice and to build it and in a way that's holistic and connected to who you are and honors those experiences while still being totally optimistic about like being a whole pleasure oriented person,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome.
Yeah.
So when you're doing this work with your clients, what do you find are some of the, kind of the most frequent things that people struggle with, or like what are kind of the sticking points, and what do you have to offer folks to overcome those things?
Well, a shocking amount of women have pelvic pain. I'm not surprised.
Really?
No.
How many are we talking?
Well, I just heard a lecture last week, and it was a woman who is in town, and she's phenomenal. Her name is Rachel Rubin.
Oh, and, yeah, I just moderated a panel with Dr. Rubin.
Oh,
she's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's a queen. She's going to come on the show, so stay tuned.
Oh, she is just a firecracker. She's amazing, and I'm so thrilled she's in town. So Dr. Rubin is a urologist, but she is partnered in a practice with a gynecologist, and they are doing something called into medicine, which is basically intimacy medicine, mm-hmm. or sexual medicine. Anyway, Dr. Rubin said that she believed that 75% of women have some kind of sexual pain at some point in their lives, which makes total sense, because you'd have pain if you're not fully aroused. You'd have dryness if you take antihistamines, or you're on birth control pills, mm-hmm. or you're breastfeeding, or you're taking cancer medications, or you've had some kind of surgery, or you haven't had sex in a long time, or you're perimenopausal, or you're penopausal. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Right. So for the guys or women who have sex with women at home, like, realizing that 75% of the people that you have had sex with have experienced pain in their life, I think is a really important thing.
Definitely. And I think something that is kind of interesting too is that there is, like, in the pain with sex is called dyspareunia. All of the names for these disorders are awful. I think they're just awful.
Like, scary sounding.
So I don't even know. I've got to look up the etymology. I don't know where dyspareunia comes from, but it's a bad name. But that's what it is. But it all says painful intercourse. Mm-hmm. Painful intercourse. But anyone who's engaging in penetration could potentially have the same problem. So it's not painful intercourse. It's painful penetration.
Right.
And so I think that even these labels now are, first of all, I mean, there's an inclusivity issue in terms of queer communities.
Absolutely.
But I also think that it's also, like, in trying to clear things up, it's also perpetrating a kind of ignorance around what kind of penetration a woman might have, and just designating it and saying, oh, it's only a penis.
Right.
And only this, right, this activity. So there's just so much ignorance, even in the medical community, even, you know.
Totally. Well, because there's still so much shame around the subject matter that people aren't studying it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, and in the U.S. there's very little funding. Most of the good research is coming out of Canada because they're...
Because, you know, religion is so tied to our government.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of times those are the first things to lose funding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, Dr. Rubin in the lecture, I don't know, maybe on the panel too, she was like, FDA hates women. FDA hates women.
Yeah, yeah, FDA is not a fan of women having autonomy over their bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll jump right back in. You're listening to Insert Here on Full Service Radio.
The music on this program produced by P. Morris, producer based in LA from DC. Find his music online, soundcloud.com/P. Morris. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You are listening to Insert Here, a sex podcast where lust and learning meet. I'm your host, Kate Warren, and today I am joined by writer, playwright, actress, and sexuality education expert, Laura Zamm. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So before the break, we were talking about how 75% of women have experienced pain during sex, estimated. So if with such a high number, or how do you recommend that women and their partners approach solutions for that pain?
So
having tried, like, basically all of them in your own quest for pleasure.
I forgot to say, yeah, so I tried 15 different kinds of practitioners and 30 different healing modalities and pleasure enhancing modalities to try and get a handle on this. And
that's extraordinary.
And it took the full 5 years for me to really understand what was going on.
Wow.
It took an incredible amount of time. But anyway, so with pelvic pain, there's a couple of things. So seeing a gynecologist that is comfortable talking about sex with you is really paramount, but it's not that easy to find, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So there are some, like Dr. Rubin, for instance, her practice makes very clear that they deal with pelvic pain. So I would look for a gynecologist that on their website or says something about pelvic pain, mm-hmm. because then they're more inclined to have knowledge and be comfortable talking about it. My own gynecologist that I loved her, but she was uncomfortable when I started asking her questions about sex. Mm-hmm. She got uncomfortable and she didn't give me good advice.
Oh, okay.
So I had to leave her practice, and that killed me.
Yeah. So do you think people should call around and ask, does your practice embrace conversations about sexuality and pleasure?
Yeah, I would look at the website to just see to what degree they really embrace these issues.
Sure.
I mean, not embrace them, but to what extent they are knowledgeable about them. Because they're all on the phone, they're going to say, yeah, of course. Yeah. But if they go out of their way to really emphasize it, then I'd say, oh, okay, then they probably are going to be comfortable with me. So that's number one. The other thing is finding a sex therapist. Mm-hmm. Now, I did not understand sex therapy for a really, really, really long time. I thought sex therapists were people who were not regular therapists. They only talked about sex. Mm-hmm. And I had some kind of concept that they were more like the tantrika that I eventually went to.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Where they did hands-on work, it seemed. And it took me a long time, years to get up the courage to do this kind of body work. We would call it, in the profession, they call it sexological body work. Mm-hmm. But I thought sex therapy was that, but it's not. Sex therapy is basically, most sex therapists are just regular old therapists. They just have special training and certification from ASECT, which is the American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. Mm-hmm. So they have specialized certification so that they can feel comfortable, they're knowledgeable talking about sex, mm-hmm. and they can ethically talk about sex with you without it becoming a weird or improper space.
Right.
So, but I think it's very important to find a therapist that is also a sex therapist, so that you can talk about these issues and maybe tease out certainly the way that it impacts your relationship if you're in a partnership, mm-hmm. because it isn't a couple's issue, and I love that you brought that out. So I think that it's then helping partners figure out how they can navigate this.
Right, build your toolkit as a team.
Definitely, and also, there's a lot of psychological and emotional components of recovering one's sexuality.
Yep.
And so they can help you with that, and they can also advise you in terms of, maybe where to look. Another really, really incredible thing to do is pelvic floor physical therapy, which is something that a lot of people don't know about, but mm-hmm. it is very, very effective for pelvic pain. And a lot of pelvic pain is something called vaginismus, which is both tightness and weakness and spasming of the pelvic floor muscles, and it can make penetration difficult mm-hmm. and painful and or painful and or impossible.
And is that why you weren't able to have sex at the beginning?
Yeah, I had vaginismus for 30 years and didn't know about it.
Wow, and basically your vagina is a clenched fist?
Yeah. And, if you have difficulty with entry, basically, mm-hmm. If you have difficulty using tampons mm-hmm. And pain with sex, it could definitely be, mm-hmm. I can't say definitely, it could be vaginismus.
Sure.
And another common issue is something called vestibulitis, which is right around the vestibule, which is the very entrance to the vagina. Often mm-hmm. it manifests as burning. So when women have burning with sex, it can often be these nerves are overfiring, and there's an ultra sensitivity. There could be some nerve damage, or it could be there could be inflammation of the tissue. There's different reasons why you'd have this kind of burning.
Right.
So so that's also happens a lot,
mm-hmm.
and so. For both those cases and other cases as well, this pelvic floor PT is awesome. And
do you go to a physical therapist who helps you with this?
Yeah,
basically doing super Kegels.
Yeah, and they're like they actually the and you go to like a real physical therapist often, not always. The one I went to was just a regular physical therapy office. So there's, you know, an old guy working out with a medicine ball, and then I'm behind a closed door, and the physical therapist manually releases the muscles.
Oh.
And does other things. It depends on what your issue is. But cool. You know, for me with the vaginismus, with these tight clenched muscles
right.
that didn't know how to relax, I mean, she would go in and physically massage and manipulate these muscles to get them to relax.
Intravaginally,
yeah.
Oh, wow, cool.
And it was, I think it really primed the way for my going to the Tantrika, you know, because I had this internal work, and it turned out to be, it was nice in its own way.
Right.
You know?
It was the body work without, like, the mental piece of pleasure.
Yes. And she, the physical therapist, is the first one who really had me understand that my problems, which is like PTSD of the vagina,
yeah.
right? Because my vagina is like freaking out, and it's mm-hmm. this hypervigilance, that really the remedy was this rewiring mm-hmm. and that it was this repetition. And there were Kegels as well and different kinds of pelvic floors. So first you have to relax and then you have to strengthen. So I would say for people who have pelvic pain, I would seek out a good doctor, a knowledgeable doctor. Mm-hmm. You probably need a prescription for this kind of physical therapy. So hopefully your gynecologist can refer you. Mm-hmm. And then I would also seek out a therapist who's also a sex therapist.
That's awesome. And I think that's a great overcoming trauma or physical pain, like toolkit 101. Right, because you had 45 different things in your toolkit. Yeah. But these are kind of really good preliminary building blocks for folks to start identifying like the source of their pain and to probably build a plan for addressing it.
Yeah, exactly. And it, like I said, it took me 5 years to figure out that this was the plan.
Which is incredible. Like, good on you for hanging in there. I would have gotten so frustrated and quit, I think.
Yeah, it was, you know, once I got into it, though, it was a great way for my husband and I to connect, because then we could try different things, and it really reinvigorated our relationship.
That's
but
awesome.
Pelvic pain is only one of the reasons why people might come to me as a, and I'm not a sex therapist, and I'm not a therapist, so I'm kind of like a, but I'm not a friend, you know? I'm just somebody who's knowledgeable about sex. It's somebody who's got questions about
casual
about sex and maybe needs a guide to help direct them.
Sex shaman. It's fine, just a sex shaman.
That's how I think of myself.
That's awesome.
Because people are just so ashamed often of these problems and they don't know where to turn. So I feel like my job is to just listen and then tell people maybe where they could turn.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Well, you know?
And thank you for doing that work. Like, it's so necessary, and it's to create a space where they can talk about pain.
Yeah,
is unique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, how do you feel? And you know, we're just about out of time, but what is, you know, maybe one final piece of advice that you would give folks around kind of trauma and pleasure?
Yeah. So I think that with trauma, it can be, the sexual part can really get neglected. I feel like in our healing often we're taught or we get to the point where we can say no, but we don't necessarily get to the point where we can say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's worth it to explore that yes piece, but it takes a bit of self-exploration
mm-hmm.
and that it's all there. It's all there in the wiring of ourselves, and that I would advise somebody who wants to reclaim their sexuality to spend some time. I recommend maybe 5 minutes a day or, you know, an hour a week if you can manage it, and just figure out what is it that, what's showing up for you sexually, and see what you can do maybe to do some of that rewiring. So if you're triggered the minute your lover comes near you, maybe what you need 5 minutes a day is some sort of mindfulness or meditation or a way to calm your system,
mm-hmm.
you know, your nervous system. If it's that you have no libido right? It may be for 5 minutes a day, you read some erotica or you
okay.
or you run your hands along your body, you mm-hmm. know?
Take a happy bubble bath, whatever.
Happy bubble bath, you know, or once a week you just lie out and, explore a little bit. So, yeah, just to take on, to maybe have some hope that if you view this as a way that neuroscience is showing us we can, with the plastic brain, we can rewire any aspect of ourselves.
Yeah.
So to have hope that you can do that with your sexuality.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Do you have any resources maybe online that you would recommend to folks looking for more information about you or other resources?
Definitely. So to find me, you can find me on Twitter at my name at Laura Zam. You can find me on Facebook at Laura Zam. You can find me on Instagram, though I'm not so active on Instagram. But on Instagram, I'm Zam, not Spam. and I would also I would also encourage people to look up ASECT, which is that American Association for Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. And it's ASECT.com.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and it's AASECT.org.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Laura. You've been listening to Insert Here. You can find us online on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast by searching Insert Here. Thank you so much for listening. We would love if you could leave us a little review on iTunes because that really helps get the word out. Stay horny.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts, covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.